Last weekend I was reading through the Washington Compost and looking at the business section, which is, along with the comics and the obituaries, the most reliable part of that paper, that there is a little article called "Why This Retail Season Will Be Different." Well, that caught my little eye, so I then turned to the next page and it says, "Holiday shoppers plan to spend more this year on themselves." And I thought, well, that's just the ho, ho, ho giving spirit, isn't it? It's like that old Christmas carol. I'm dreaming of, I want, I have to have, I need Christmas. Yes, this is what we're preparing for, and you already know from the news they're talking about Black Friday and so on. You go to the Giant store, the Christmas decorations are up, but that's really not the point of all of this. Rather, in 2 weeks, we celebrate the Feast of Christ the King. We bring to a close our liturgical year, and then begin Advent, preparing for Christmas. Also on December the 8th, Pope Francis has inaugurated a year of mercy when he's challenged all of us to look at our lives and to perform wholeheartedly those spiritual and corporal works of mercy. So with all of that in mind, and given like the mentality mentioned in that article, you and I do have to look at our lives. Our gospel challenges us too. We live in this world. We could easily fall into the I have to have instead of having really a grateful heart. We could be thinking about I want instead of thinking of how do I satisfy the wants of this world. So consider our gospel passage, which really is important for all of us. Here Jesus has gone to the temple. He's sitting in an area of the temple precinct that has what was called the treasury. So the Jews had these different collection boxes for different kinds of alms. There were 13 boxes, and each of them had like this trumpet coming out of it, so an opening. So one of the boxes would be for certain sacrifices to be offered, one for the upkeep of the temple, one to support the priests, and one also to support the poor. So our Lord sees very rich people taking bags of coins and pouring them into these trumpets. You can imagine the sound, almost like a casino slot machine going clink, 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 or one of those money machines that you have at the grocery store at the bank. And then there's the poor widow. The poor widow comes, and she puts in her two little coins. The original text uses the word lepton, which was the smallest form of currency. It was almost paper thin, so less than a penny. One can imagine that here are these two little coins. Maybe she put one in the container for the temple maintenance, one for the poor. They probably didn't even make a sound. No one probably even noticed. But Jesus did. And Jesus said that from this poor widow's want, she gave. She gave all that she had. Well, you and I need to take this example to heart. Again, especially as we're coming to the end of this liturgical year, and look at how well have we lived the kingdom of God and built up that kingdom with all that is God, all that God has given to us. Look at this poor widow. First of all, she had a heart of gratitude. Yes, she's a poor widow, but she knew God loved her, that she was valuable in God's eyes. She may not have had much, but she knew that she had more than somebody else. And because of that, she gave. So she had the attitude of gratitude. She was thankful for what she had. Then, secondly, she did give. She gave generously. She gave sacrificially. Now, for the Jews in the Old Testament, the Torah prescribed tithing, meaning that one would give 10%, one-tenth, of their flock, harvest, whatever it would be, back to Almighty God. It's a good principle that many people practice. So we always do our duty giving back to God. But one has to consider, what if you have huge amounts of money? For instance, I know a young man who does odd jobs to make some extra money. He's a teenager. And his parents told me he tithes. He gives 10% back. Well, I thought, God bless that young man, and God bless his parents, because there's a real sacrifice. So if that young man makes $10, he's giving a dollar back. If he makes $100, he's giving 10 back. That's a sacrifice. Or if you think of somebody, $1,000, $100 is a sacrifice. But if you have $1,000,000, well, $100,000 given to charity is generous. But is it really a sacrifice? That's the challenge. This woman sacrificially gave. Archbishop Fulton Sheen said, "We do not measure generosity by what we give, but by what we have left over." For instance, I know a family who was very supportive of us when we were building our church, and they were very well-to-do, but they tithe in the sense of they keep 50% of his salary for themselves, and they give 50% to charity because they don't need more than 50% to live on. Good example. Or I think of other families that are generous sacrificially in other ways. I know a family in this parish where they give up desserts except on Sunday because that's God's day. It should be a day to celebrate. But with the money that they would use for desserts, they use to buy food for our food drive. Think of the great lesson that teaches to children. Or I know families that every year, about this time, they go through the closets. Now, many of us have closets that might be jammed with clothes. My mom at her house has every closet in the house anymore. So why not go through the closets and see what is old or what might be outgrown, not worn lately, and give that to the Good Shepherd Alliance or some other charity? We could all look in our lives and ask ourselves, am I really generous and sacrificially generous? And then lastly, this woman, besides having that attitude of gratitude, being sacrificially generous, was dependent. She knew God would provide. Here she gave her two little coins to charity. But she knew God would provide. No differently than that widow in our first passage, the widow of Zarephath, who trusted what Elijah had said, that that jug of oil is not going to run dry, that jar of flour will not run out. No, God will provide. Yes, we have to be prudent as far as savings, retirement, and so on. But that prudence should not inhibit our generosity. After all, any one of us here could die today and look at what we probably have left over. So the key here is to look at our lives and ask, with all that God has given to me, am I satisfying the want of others? The key, though, here is not simply the idea of giving, but also what we're going to receive. St. Francis of Assisi said that. It's in giving that we receive. So what did this woman receive? She received joy. All of us know that when we give to help someone else, we feel good. When we're really giving and maybe making a real sacrifice, whether it's time, talent, or treasure, we feel good. Why? Because God has rewarded us with grace. Yes, with grace. Besides having that joy, we find a freedom. A freedom from having possessions possess us. A freedom from going through these financial calculations all the time. A freedom from greed or covetous thoughts that we may plague us because of what others have and what we don't have. And lastly, we also find not just that happiness and that freedom, but we really find a satisfaction. That we really have a satisfied, contented life. How wonderful that is to be happy with what we have. This isn't prosperity theology. This is really what our Lord teaches us throughout sacred scripture. So again, we're coming to the end of the liturgical year. Here we have to pause and ask ourselves, whose kingdom do I really live in? Whose kingdom do I build up? Who is the Lord of my life? We live in a world that says, be selfish. Whereas Jesus tells us, be sacrificial. After all, we hear of his sacrifice in our second passage. He sacrificed himself for us. We live in a world that says that we need to somehow accumulate. Jesus says, be satisfied. Have that attitude of gratitude. We live in a world of entitlement. I have to have this. I deserve this. Rather, Jesus tells us, be content. Do well, but be content. Pope Francis, during his visit here, oftentimes and in other places too, has said, we should live life more simply. Mother Teresa said, we should be more simple in our life so that others can simply live. Pause and consider. What about our lives? Whose kingdom do we really serve? Who's the king of our life? Because if we really are having that attitude of gratitude, and if we really are generous and sacrificial with what God has given us to help others, including his mission, if we really are with that, having that sense of joy and a sense of union with our Lord, guaranteed that will be fulfilled in heaven. May God bless you.